Not so bad, everybody.
Be seated. Wow. Thank you, Stacela.
You're welcome, Allah.
How's everyone doing? Rosh Hashanah is a long service, I understand, but we do have a beautiful lunch and waiting for us. Maybe that's not good to say right now. But that's what the day is, you know, that we come together and we pray and we stand and we go through all of this together. It's very, very, very beautiful. So, Lashana Tova to you, it's 5785 by Jewish reckoning since the day of Adam and Chava. And so in light of joyful beginnings today, I want to share an address to Ruach Israel. Twice each year, our Ruach Israel board meets over bagels, lox, and more importantly, coffee, to pray, more importantly to pray, to study and to come up with a strategic theme for the coming year. So just some brief recent history. As we moved out of the COVID season in 5782, our theme was to regroup, rebuild, and recommit to an even stronger community. A big thank you to our President Evan for leading the way and just really taking us forward during this time. It was a remarkable year. Committed to not leave anyone behind. That was our thing. We're not going to leave anyone behind. We pivoted to joy-filled outdoor services. You remember the services with the tent outside in the parking lot? We launched our Maturing in Messiah program for the first time that year, and we had our first members' mishkan outside in the tent. And it was lovely. In 5783, we celebrated new beginnings with a theme called Etz Chaim Chi. It is a tree of life. We launched our Havruta project, did a daily Jewish living study theme throughout the year. And then we launched our Shabbaton, the Ruach Israel Shabbaton out in Pilgrim Pines, which was lovely that year. We planted two intergenerational fruit trees outside there in the grass in the parking lot. So make your way out there and you can see, if you weren't here at that time, those two apple trees, a green apple and a red apple. And we planted those looking forward to the generations to come, even 20 years from now. And I still like to imagine our children's children climbing the highest branches and picking apples for Rosh Hashanah. So maybe we've got, you know, some nickel grandbabies, you know what I mean? These guys. Oh, I don't know. Other nickels over there. We've got Hanson kids, you can imagine. I think I made the joke at that time, one of you guys' kids with a GPS at the top of the apple tree, you know. Sharis, you guys will be there, you know. I mean, all of you will be there together, maybe a few wiser teenagers, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Everyone comes together, new people. Maybe there'll even be a match or two. Can you imagine that? A match or two? A match? You know, could be worse, you know? Could be worse. Who knows? Anyway, this past year in 5784, our theme was called our Ruach Israel Voice, where we installed a brand new ark. And here we are, beautifying our sanctuary, adding honor to the Torah, and I believe a new and maturing Messianic Judaism here at Ruach Israel as a beginning. As we step into this new year, our strategic theme is building with the next generation. And the word with is very intentional. The idea is not to focus only on younger people. The goal is to build and strengthen our intergenerational community where we emphasize building together. And here at Ruach Israel, this is something actually that we do really well already. This year, our hope is to build off our strengths and to build an even stronger intergenerational community for the future. Today, let's use the image of a Havdalah candle to represent our theme. This is a Havdalah candle. And as we go, what we're going to do is we're going to actually start the beginnings of creating our own physical candle over this coming year, and this will be a candle that we'll use for our community Havdalah services that we have in the coming year, even to close Yom Kippur, maybe for our Ark dedication in December that we're looking forward to, for our Havdalah at the Shabbaton this coming spring. And so this is something that we can use throughout the year. Chaim, would you bring forward our little table here? Now, I'll show you what we're going to do in a moment. Havdalah means separation. Havdalah means separation. We use the Havdalah candle to mark the separation between Shabbat and holy days and the rest of the week. The Havdalah candle reminds us what is set apart and what is not. Much of Jewish life revolves around bringing holiness into everyday life. And this doesn't mean that we just make everything the same, that you really lose holiness, then everything becomes common. Instead, we need to bring holiness into the world we live in now, like may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Judaism, community is holy. I'll just say that one more time. In Judaism, community is holy. Every time we come together as a community in Yeshua, we step into sacred space. Space that's set apart and adds holiness into our lives. That's why we're here on Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Torah gives us these Shabbats where he says, just don't do anything else. No matter how important it is, you stop. Because you're adding holiness into the world, separating from the common. As we encounter Yeshua in our services, in our meals, in our times with community, we must cherish one another. We must find joy in being together and forge holy friendships across all the generations. So as we look at our Havdalah candle, let us be reminded that our community is holy and sacred space. In Jewish tradition, the Havdalah candle, you'll see, needs to have at least two wicks. Many have more. And Judaism teaches that each candlestick represents a different part of the community. We burn stronger and brighter together. That's the idea. For the intergenerational Havdalah candle we'll make today, each candle will represent one of four Ruach Israel generations. And then when we braid this together after Rosh Hashanah, we will have an intergenerational community that can come together, intertwined and inseparable. So let's our first category is going to be the children. Our first category is of children. So you guys stand in the back there and wait, and then I'll call you up in just a few minutes, okay? So at last night's service, we talked about children in the kingdom of God. For those of you who are here, we looked at the passage in the Besorah where children of all ages come to Yeshua so that he may lay hands on them and bless them. Concerned that the children are an interruption, the disciples rebuke the parents, but Yeshua responds, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And then he says, "Amen, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And last night we saw Yeshua's appeal to little children as actually a call to repentance. When we turn back to God, we become as a little child, reborn. But this morning, as we braid our intergenerational candle, let's start with Yeshua's love for the children. Some years ago, we had a man named Howard Storm visit and share an incredible near-death experience, and he told of his dramatic encounter with Yeshua in the kingdom of heaven. It's quite a story for another time, but it left him a completely different person. And when we asked him about as he was sharing, we asked him, "What are a few things that you learned from your experiences about the kingdom of heaven?" And he said, "Yeshua really, 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 really loves the children. And so must we." Judaism is built around children too. The Shema, we must teach Torah to our children. The Passover Seder, of course, is intended to tell our Jewish story to our children. Rabbinic Judaism has followed. There are passages in Talmud that muse that the world was created solely for the purpose of bringing children into the world. Another wonders whether the world continues to exist only because of the breath of school children. And a midrash on Lamentations tells us that God's presence didn't leave Jerusalem during the Babylonian siege. The rabbis left, the priests left, and he stayed until the children were exiled. And then the Midrash says, "Come and see how beloved small children are by God." It's beautiful. For our Jewish sages, the very life of a community depends on the presence of children. For Yeshua, the kingdom of heaven belongs to these little ones. The kingdom of heaven, I like to think, must be filled with children. It's just so joyful. Now, if the kingdom of heaven belongs to children, and if intergenerational community is to be a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven on earth, then Ruach Israel must also belong to children such as these. Of course, this does not mean that we turn our sanctuary into a kids' fun zone. I doubt the kingdom of heaven is made of molded plastic play structures and limited to primary colors, you know. I don't think that Yeshua meant more children's programming in heaven when he says the kingdom of God belongs to children. Nor does he mean that we become a child-centric community or welcome little ones to run wild like little hooligans through the kitchen. That actually was my child. Sigh. Let's think about this in a different way. How would a child experience the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven must hold the keys to the things that are most important to a child's heart. A child must be loved. There's lots of love in the kingdom of heaven. A child must feel valued. The kingdom of heaven is filled with honor and filled with respect and nobility. A child must feel safe, have a mission and a purpose. A child must feel as though he or she belongs. If we want our community to reflect the kingdom of heaven, then we must model these things for our children here at Ruach Israel. The first way to value our children is to treat our smaller people with the same respect and dignity we treat our larger people. I mean, it's simple, but it's a very important truth. Our smaller people, treat them with the same dignity and respect as our larger people. Respect and honor must be ageless. Now, obviously, we want to relate to kids in age-appropriate ways and with age-appropriate boundaries. There is a right and a wrong way to talk with a three-year-old, for example. But a three-year-old should be ennobled and not ignored. And I hear from kids that they become real friends with adults who ask questions, who genuinely listen and believe in a child's ability to contribute in her own way, just like anyone else. And I want to just highlight, call out Cheryl and Diane, because you guys, so many of you guys do this well. I could call everyone out, but you guys do this so well that, you know, Shoshana wanted you to be her only guest at her birthday party, for, you know, a seven-year-old birthday party, which is very sweet. You know, she sees you as friends. This is intergenerational community. Younger people need to be with older people. It's very important. Older people are living at a different life, different pace of life, and younger people need to be brought into that. And older people need to be with children who might get underfoot and be too noisy at times, who are living at a totally different pace, a much faster pace. We need to be together. We need each other to stretch and to grow. In the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis creates a world that is truly intergenerational. Children and adults of all ages are equally respected. The people there, whether they're animals or people or children, they're all expected to act with honor and with dignity. He writes, a quote that I laughed a long time when I read this to the kids. Children who act too childish are just as foolish as adults who act too grown up. We draw out the inner adult within children, you see? We draw out the inner adult within children, and children draw out the inner child within us. Additionally, our children need to know that they belong. The secret to belonging is learning to contribute well. We give our children the gift of belonging when they contribute to community life, and then we, in turn, appreciate their efforts. So children must have a place, but they don't need to be brought away from the mysterious and boring land of grown-ups. Instead, they must be brought into special roles alongside of adults. Often my two-year-old son, Elijah, wakes me up saying, Daddy, I want to make coffee with you. And then he just says it until I get up. I want to make coffee. I want to make coffee. I want to make coffee. And that's how I wake up. And then I let him sit on the counter here, and he scoops the grinds, and he drops them on the floor, you know what I mean? And he makes a big mess, and we make coffee together, and then he wants a sip of my black coffee, not because he likes it, but because he made it with me. And it says that we belong together. We belong together. We can reinforce belonging in our children by using two words together in a phrase. Whenever you do something together with a child or even with each other, the two words are we and together. Just put them together in a sentence. When we open the ark together, it really makes God smile. See, when we clean up after Oneg together, we contribute and we make a difference. When children contribute, it teaches children honor. Parents, we can see community life as one of the most important training grounds for our children. More important than school. Way more important than school. What they'll learn here and the character and all those things will carry them off in their education in the future. We need to coach our children how to show honor and to avoid running through the sanctuary like my little one has been doing. We need to coach them how to not climb over the wall into her Shabbat school thing. Again, that was one of mine. Forgive me. or crashing into the kitchen, whatever. These are things we use our space to help with our training with our kids, because there's a right way and a wrong way to be in the sanctuary. This is the motivation for involving kids with cleanup after Oneg. We have this thing right now, clean up three things and then do one extra thing to add honor. It might be simple for us adults just to do it anyway. Maybe it'd be a little bit easier. But our children need to learn how to contribute so that they can belong. Let's be thinking about how we can involve our children more this year. And this means that we're going to hear kids in the background during services. Sometimes things won't be as polished and we'll at times have a child underfoot. But we must remember Yeshua's words to us. Let the little children come. And with that, let me invite our two representative children, Lior and Cyrus, to come holding your Havdalah candle. Yeah, and you can walk together. Yeah. Yeah, we can clap for you guys. That's right. You deserve it. And you can place it in there. Perfect. Awesome. Yes, we do this well together. Good job, guys. Awesome. Thank you, Leora, and thank you, Cyrus. So for the disciples, the children were distractions and interruptions who might somehow hinder the mission. But for Yeshua, these children are the mission. Okay, you ready to go to the next generation? Okay, so now we have our young adults. And why don't you guys, the two of you have representative young adults, you can go in the back there, Abby and Elizabeth. Okay, so as I see it, young adults have two groups within them. There's teens and then 20-somethings maybe. And all of these categories, there's gray areas and it's kind of how you feel and you might be in one or the other. That's okay, let that be. But Jewish tradition generally understands adulthood to begin with the age of Bar Bat Mitzvah. And to be honest, over the past 15 years, I've been working with teens, and I found that teenagers are just as capable of being as adult as anyone else. Ideally, young men and women who are in their teenage years can look up to young men and women in their 20s. And 20s have the opportunity in intergenerational community to become role models for those who are about to follow in their footsteps. Now, while we value at Ruach Israel young adults interacting with other young adults, that's a great thing. We do have a young adult group called Yalah, and it's a good thing. But to be honest, it isn't the model we see anywhere in the scriptures. It's not there. Young adult-only community is just not a part of the scriptures, as far as I can see. Instead, we see intergenerational communities where young adults learn and grow from everyone else, and everyone else learns and grows from them. In a healthy intergenerational community, young adults learn by sitting and talking with older people who have lived many more years. They need mentors to help them navigate difficult seasons in life. They need strong marriage role models to help them catch a vision for godly marriage. Listen, marriage classes are not and should not be part of graduate school programs. You know, they need this. Young adults need the opportunity to be brought into the life of healthy families with small children, and learn how to become parents themselves one day. And I invite parents, invite young adults into your family life, you know, for this purpose. And young adults, you can help parents. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Now, like the younger generation, young adults need also to learn how to step outside of themselves and to contribute, to catch hold of a vision for the kingdom of God and use their energy, their passion, and their strength to build it. In a healthy intergenerational community, young adults need to be the initiators of community life. Young adults also need to learn how to initiate, because young adults have the capacity to bring new life, See, sometimes as we get older, we kind of, you know, it's like things just stay the same, and that's okay, and that's good, and it's noble. But young adults bring a new life, fresh vision, or an intergenerational experience that they can fuel and have energy for. And so you young adults, you will become the next leaders to carry us into the next generation. I'm indebted to you, Rabbi Rich and Sue. You guys are on Zoom because you aren't feeling well. We were praying for you today. But I really am indebted to you. When I was in my 20s here at Rook, you created a space that was inviting and empowering while also stable and confident and mature, and brought these two things together for Rain and I. I'm also grateful to all of you young adults that are here today. Josh, when you first came to Rook from MIT, we were still missing our young adult demographic. We were in between Rook House and Yala. It was COVID, and here you come, our only young adult at the time. And you know, you could have just said, "Hey, there aren't enough young adults here. I'm going to go to a young adult community." You know what I mean? I'm just going to go there because I want to be with the other young adults. You could have done that, but you didn't. And instead, you caught a vision for Messianic Judaism that was much bigger than yourself. And all of you guys, Daniel, you guys, Ben and Rachel and Abby and others, all of you. And now we have a young adult group, you see, because you stayed and you built one. And that's how this works. That's how this works. Yalla, let's go. Real spiritual life happens when we choose to stay and build a vision. As Rabbi Rich says, a secret to joy is to make small things grow. This is what Yeshua did with only a few fishermen. Now, we have a new initiative here at Rook Israel that I'm really excited about. We're launching a young adult committee. And the vision is to give young adults, again, teens and 20s, an opportunity to have a voice and to plan an active role in the planning and life of our community. This year, the Young Adult Committee is planning to run a production of Fiddler on the Roof as a fundraiser for an upcoming Israel trip in 2026, which we're hoping to be able to do. This will be an intergenerational play. So all of you guys, audition. If you can sing, audition. If you can't sing, be an extra. Or if you'd like to be in the back, get on the stage crew. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to invite the town. We're going to invite the nursing homes. It's going to be wonderful. We're really excited about it. So they're also going to be running with a new initiative called Shulchan Shabbat that our board is excited about, where we begin to extend Shabbat. And every month or so, we'll figure out what this looks like. We'll be hosting like a Kabbalat Shabbat with songs on Friday night, and then a Sudash Shisli, the third meal, and Havdalah in the evening, to be able to see that Shabbat isn't only this time we gather in the mornings, but it's a 25-hour experience, Friday all the way through, you know, sundown to sundown. And so we'll be able to do this for those who are interested in participating, and they'll have other ideas as well. So it's something we're really excited for, and I want to invite now our two representatives. Of course, you represent all the young adults and the ones who are to come, and to bring your candle forwards and place your candle next to our children's candle. Awesome. And let's give a hand to our young adults. Yes. And let's remember Rav Shaul's advice to Timothy as he commissioned him to become a young adult community leader. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but become an example of the faithful in speech, in conduct, in love, in faithfulness, and in purity. Okay, our next candle is our parent generation. We'll call the parents, parent is a big range, and we'll call parent age range between, let's say, a younger couple's first child and when children have grown and been sent out of the world. Again, it's when you sort of feel like you're changing into the next one that becomes you. Parents, you are serving in the most holy of roles. At Ruach Israel, we really believe in parents. And we believe in families, healthy families. And the rest of our intergenerational community must come alongside and support new and older parents alike. It's not for the faint of heart. And we must support our families. And again, you already do this so well. We're building on our strengths. Rain and I felt so supported by you with Havaleah's birth. It felt like she was our first. I mean, it's remarkable. I've been sharing that with people. You guys are amazing. And in community life, the parent generation is not only those with their own children. Those of you who are in this age bracket but do not have children of your own can be community parents, and you have just as much to contribute. Healthy intergenerational community needs to have lots of community parents. We have singles by choice. We have singles who are looking. We have people who have been through the trauma of divorce. We have those who have suffered deeply and are now widows. We have a place. We have a place for all of you in our intergenerational Havdalah candle. Now, our society has a lot to say about the most important values that parents need to prioritize for their kids. A child's academic success, extracurricular skills and talents, becoming a good citizen. You know, all of these are noble, good things. But what is the most important value we parents need to have for our children? What rises above all of these and needs to be above all of these other priorities, or even these other things work towards this? What is that? We learned from Yeshua and those in Yeshua's day who were bringing their children to him. We must also bring our children to Yeshua. In Torah, our main goals are to pass on Israel's story. Our main goals are to model and teach the life of Torah and righteousness and lead our children to know and follow Yeshua as their Messiah. The mission is to raise mature Messianic Jewish followers of Yeshua. Mature followers of Yeshua. And everything we do in life needs to work towards this goal. I think this needs to be the center of home life. Again, above school. It's hard to say. Above school, above sports, above everything else. Looking to him. This is not an easy task. The reality is that our children are human beings who will make choices as adults that we parents are simply not responsible for. I've heard it said that Adam and Eve had the perfect parent, and look what happened. So I just want to say out there, we give it our best shot, and that's what we do. And then our intergenerational community, we must hold these values for our family at the top of the list. And so we can encourage families to prioritize Shabbat for their children when so many other things call for their attention. We can come together and pray and support each other when things don't go as well or as hoped for, which is going to be the case. And we're going to need to come around each other and support each other. And we can give each other counsel when we parents just don't know how to proceed or what the next steps are. This is intergenerational community, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So I'd like to invite up our parent representative. Actually, because parents are such a broad category, I've actually invited three demographics. So we've got our younger parents. you guys are the new baby. We've got our middle parents who've got one in college and you know, some teenagers at home, okay? And I'm also going to invite Cheryl to come forward, who also, in an honorary and wonderful way, represents our grown children, but not yet grandparent, and having gone through, you know, significant struggles in life. You know, we want you to have a place in our candle too. So Cheryl, can you hold the candle too? All of you guys hold it. I know that's hard to do, but whatever. All right. And let's see if you guys can come down. This is teamwork. How many parents does it take to... No. All right. Thanks, guys. Yes. We love you, all of you parents and parent age folks. Okay, now our last candle, but certainly not least, are our grandparents. And to be a community grandparent, we've got our community grandparents. You guys can stand in the back there. Okay, to be our community grandparent, one does not have to have grandchildren here at Rook Israel, or even grandchildren at all. One becomes a community grandparent simply by the experience of years. Your role is critical here. Your role is critical. Psalm 71:18 tells us, "Even until I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I tell of your strong arm to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." You must be a consistent, mature, and balancing presence for our younger people whose world is always changing. You carry with you the experience of years, the wisdom to apply the passions of youth, and the moderation to stay on the path of righteousness. Though I'm not a grandparent yet, I imagine that you also need the joy of the children and the energy and the passion of our young adults. And you must smile at us community parents when we struggle to make our way. Proverbs 16:31 tells us, "Gray hair is a crown of glory found on the path of righteousness." You are the crown of our intergenerational community. And to the rest of us, allow me to leave you with a verse that we would all do well to heed. In Leviticus 19:31, we read, "You are to rise up in the presence of the gray-haired and honor the presence of the elderly. So you will fear your God. I am Adonai." So it may feel old-fashioned in our day, but I believe this is a timeless commandment. I really do. A timeless commandment given to younger generations. Children, young adults, parents alike, let us consider this value and let us look to the older generation and find the humility to give honor to those who have seen many, many moons. And so I want to invite all of you to rise as our community grandparent representatives. I know there's many of you here, and you're all being honored today. Come forward and place our final Havdalah candle. Bubby and Zadie. All right, yes. And it's Michelle's birthday. Oh, wonderful. Okay, and you may be seated. Thank you. So now that we have our four candles here, I'll hold them up here. Now that we have our four candles, we would come to the braiding process. Of course, I can't do that here because it actually takes a lot of work to braid candles. And we will braid them. The idea is later on after Rosh Hashanah, we'll see if we can intertwine these together into a four-candle braid by melting them. And so the idea that before we braid our candle, our candles actually have to be flexible. They have to be flexible by heat. For an intergenerational community to forge, we must do the difficult work of heating and shaping before we can be fully intertwined. Put those back there. This year, we're facing difficult things, of course. We always are facing difficult things. This year we have, you know, a difficult election coming up. We've got trying times in Israel, around the world, all of these things that we're experiencing together. I think that our theme on intergenerational community is just what we need to continue to stay focused on our greater calling here at Rook Israel, and to use these times to strengthen our candles braid. We did this during COVID, and we're going to do this again this year. No matter what goes on in the world around us, we must act out of our deepest values. We must commit to relationships with each other ahead of ideologies, and we must be joy-filled and delighted to see one another. No matter what, we must put our Messianic Jewish community first, and this will make all the difference. Once our candles have been heated and flexed enough to intertwine together, then we make a braid. And what we're going to do once we've done this is use this braid together so that we'll always be remembered this year of our intergenerational community. And we braid our four candles together by spending time with one another, building the kingdom of God. That's it. By spending time with one another. To create a braid that is strong and close, we must share our laughter, our jokes, as well as our tears and our trials. We have to help each other carry burdens. We have to lift each other up. We need to become our best selves with one another. Now, when we first light this Rosh Hashanah, this candle to close Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah is when we'll do this together, we'll see that our four generations braided together makes a much stronger and brighter flame than we could ever done or had alone. And let us see our flame as if we were holding up Yeshua, the true light of the world. This is our intergenerational mission. This is why we do Messianic Jewish community, to come together to hold up his light brighter and brighter within the world around us. With that, Lashana Tova to you all.